want to go ahead and shift gears in your mind and your heart, get in a place of expectation, because always where expectation is, there's a manifestation. You know, and the title this morning, I mean, I was just really shocked at what Teresa preached. But the title this morning, if I had one to put on it, would be God's Plan for You. And I didn't know she quoted all the scriptures I've got. Me and her didn't talk. We get before the Lord, and that's one thing that we believe, that we believe we hear from the Lord, and we come here and we preach it, and we receive it, and we get the results that God has sent in His Word, hallelujah, to us, and we will profit by it. I made up my mind a long time ago, I'm not going to hear the Word preached and not mix faith with it. But God, if it says I'm blessed going in and out and sitting in the field and God quickens that to me, I'm not going to let it sit dormant. I'm going to get it and I'm going to start saying it over Scotty. I read in that Bible and it was God's plan to put sickness and disease. Jesus took it all. He put poverty on Him. And I mean, you know, just like we'll be criticized, the bigger we get and the more doors that opens up for us, you know, we'll be criticized about prospering. We will be. I don't have to warn you, you know. But one thing you got to do when you're criticized, prosperity is talking about physically, mentally, financially, socially, minister-wise. I'm not talking about money. Money's in it. And so anyways, we'll be criticized as the ministry. You just got to don't read it. Somebody on there criticizing you, you know, some people won't talk about Jesus on there because you got these bunch of naysaying, unbelieving Christians and non-Christians go on there and blast them. And then Satan jumps on you, tries to make you feel bad. You know, so what you got to not do is put it on there and leave it alone. And pray God, hallelujah, and let them just go in there and have them a field day, but you don't read none of it, because if you don't read it, it can't bother you. Right? If you don't read it, it can't bother you. So anyways, you're going to be criticized. I put it on there a lot sometimes, you know, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and added. I'm doing that so that those that have an ear to hear out there in that land, those that have an ear to hear, they like, the blessing's how it is. It adds no sorrow. Makes me rich and adds no sorrow. You know? And I've had people to jump on there and tell me, well, you know, money's not really that important, Brother Scotty. It's our spiritual mind. And I want to give them something, but by gollies, it's here at church. I want to tell them, here y'all are. Y'all bunch of crybabies out there in live. They're going live with it. Y'all out there? Maybe not. Because I come up with this saying, Chris, a long time ago. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, Chris. And I'm open to God. But if I'm in light, believing and walking according to the Word of God, this world is lying if they call me wrong or you wrong. I made up my mind a long time ago, Chris. I don't care what people think about me in that manner. I'm going to prosper. I believe that I broke the back of poverty in my family, in that line. When it got to me, trying to come over into me and into Travis's life and into you and into your church, I'm talking about spiritual Christians. I'm some of y'all's spiritual fathers. And it came to me first to give it to you. And when it came and Satan's like, yep, I'm going to put it over on you, son. You've got a shield of faith. And you say, nope, it stops right here. Poverty stops here. Fear stops here. Lack stops here. Oppression stops here. You know, demons stop here. You stop here. You can't cross the blood that I have on my mind and on my life and on my church and on my business. So when you go home, Pat, you go in there and get your Crisco or whatever you use, Pam. Don't make no difference. Go right over to your door of your house and just put some blood across the top of you. I put blood across here. Some of y'all demons are walking beside you and they go, thoom. You walk right through and they go, thoom. What's that? Because I stopped you. I put the blood of Jesus and I told them no demonic spirits can cross over right here. The only way it can, somebody come in mad or angry or yielding, and then I'm going to cast it out of them. And I tell Satan that. I'll cast it out of them and throw you out of that church. Amen. Y'all come through the door, you've been into it on the way to church. You get the door and you're like, man, I got to change. The blood's there. Glory to God, you're coming into the presence of God. And the Bible says, where the presence of the Lord is, there you go. The presence of the Lord, that's your house. God has a plan for you. Teresa laid it out. I'm telling you, it might be hard for you to believe that God at 90 has a plan for you. But if you'll take that word in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts or the plans I have towards you, and don't determine your age or your lack or your any of that. And said, tell God, okay, God, I surrender right now to your plan. Whatever your plan is for me that you reveal to me from here, when I'm 100, I'm going to say it, Granny. Amen. I'm going to believe to live 120 years. The Bible promises me that. 120 years. I'm going to believe Psalms 91 where it says that long satisfied, not crippled, weak, sad, wish I could go on to be with Jesus, life. No, he said, and I'm going to believe that. Long satisfied life, he said, I will show you and I will show you my salvation, my power. I'll show you my ability. I'll show you my strength. That's why I go around saying all the time, when my body is weak, Chris, I don't tell nobody. I'm not saying you can't tell nobody, but I'll start telling the Lord, your word says, Lord, when I am weak, then am I strong. I tell him that. I say that. I think that. I get my mind off my weakness. I get my mind off how I feel. I get it on the Word of God. And before you know it, that Word brings me inner strength. And then I'm like, glory to God. I'm like Samson. It's all in God's plan. I told my mama, she slips into a coma and all of that stuff, you know, and I had a lot of them, you know, they're calling me and some of my family members because my mom had them believing that I was her guardian, she called it. Yeah, guardian. She had them thinking that I had the paperwork, that nobody could do nothing to her but me. And she thought she had me wrapped around her finger because I let her be independent. I let her feel independent when she wasn't. She was bedridden in different things. And so they're calling me up because I am over the barrel policy and those kind of things that she did all that. And so they're wanting me, even the doctor, to come over there to go ahead and make plans when she goes. Because she was on hospice, you know. And when you get on hospice, they say that's your last rope. That's your last leader. Well, I don't believe that. My mama stayed on hospice for several years, just getting lavished with stuff. And I wouldn't go over there. I didn't believe it was God's plan, Monty, for my mama to die with sickness. And I would not yield to it. I would not yield to fear. I would not yield to family. I would not. And I was the black sheep sometimes, which my daddy did that to me. You know, petted me and all that, and made my family a little upset. And that wasn't my fault, Doris. I got redeemed from that. But you know what? I stood, and it didn't look good. It didn't feel good. I felt lonely. I felt like she might not know. I'm telling you, all the feelings and emotion that everybody was yielding to was there. But I done found out that I was made in the image and likeness of God, and God felt emotions, but God was not controlled by emotion. God was controlled by faith. And so anyways, I wouldn't, and I went on a fast, you know, asking the Lord anything I need to do. That's a good thing to do when all hell's breaking loose in your family. Go on a fast. Don't get all tore up and use up all your snot papers for nothing. Save them snot papers. And get in faith, and you ain't got to whine for 3 days. Get in there. Well, I went in there, two or three days went by, and I was fasting, you know, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, go over there. He said, I'm going to raise her up. I said, okay. Well, see, why I'm telling you that is I would not let sickness and disease take my mama out. And I had her in agreement with me. And so, to my best of my ability, my recognition, I'm up here fixing to preach, and my mama just goes home to be with the Lord after she came out of that coma and lived a year or so. See, I wasn't popular, Drew, to some. I even had the nurses to tell me, get me over there and say, Mr. Weston, there comes a time when you got to let them go. And so I just told the nurse real polite and nice, I said, well, you do your job, check her blood pressure and all that. I said, and I'll take care of my job. I'll do my part. Now, they didn't mean no ill will because they feel like, oh, she's just suffering. Oh, she's just suffering. So when she come back, I come in there, I went in there, and I told her, I said, hey. I said, hey, you made it back. Yeah. I said, you know what, are you still ready? You ready to go home and see with Jesus, or you going to stay a while longer? She's laying there on the bed. I said, I just need to know. I said, I'm in agreement with you. I said, because the Bible says any two touching anything. He was. And I was kind of felt like the Apostle Paul, I'm not going to take counsel with nobody right now but the Lord about this. He said, I refer not to flesh and blood, Paul said. She said, I think I'm just going to stay here for another year or two. And I said, okay. I said, when you get ready, you're just going to be like Jesus. You're just going to give up the ghost and you're going to go home and be with the Lord. Sickness and disease didn't take my 83-year-old mother out of here. She had enlarged heart. She had a hole in her back. She had all kinds of things for a year. Congestive heart failure. To her, she had every arthritis she could get. I think she just wants some pills. She had the ready-made doctor. She could convince him, you know. She convinced some of the family there was bugs on the bed. So they went and bought a sprayer and went in there and just to try to convince her that, and they sprayed the bed. Didn't have nothing in the sprayer. I found out about it and I told them, I said, don't ever do that again. You're deceiving her. So I'll go in there to my mama. I said, do you see them bugs? She said, yeah, they're down there. They're down there. I said, there's nothing there. Well, I did see them. I said, you didn't see them? I don't see them. Well, no, they sprayed. I said, they sprayed air and fooled you. By golly, I told her the truth. Ain't we supposed to be truthful? You know why I was doing that, Monty? Because I want the anointing. I want the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth. I don't want him backing off because I'm trying to fool her to make her think something's not there. If she saw them, they wasn't there. And so, you know what? I had the door shut and I said, they didn't spray it. They wasn't there. I said, they was not there. I said, so if you're seeing something, it's some kind of demonic stuff trying to get you to believe a lie. How many knows the Bible says that Satan transforms himself as an angel of the light? And so anyways, I prayed over that. She never seen him again. I convinced her in her own mind the truth. They're not there. If they're not there, Mom, I don't care if you see them or not. I'm going to tell you the truth. They are not there. I'm not going to tell you they're there if they're not there. I said, because you believe in a lie. And a lie shields you from the truth. But the truth will shield you from a lie. See, God's plan was for her in her 80s to live in peace and prosper in the nursing home. For them to have the gospel that you've been licensed to go over there and tell them you can live long, satisfied lives. Get the Bible. God, your God said this. When they convinced of it, whoo, they'll come up in there and they'll be like, glory to God, I can live my best life yet. When he quickens them on the inside, instead of looking in the natural, it's terrible, they're at their last hour. No family comes over. Satan wants you in that realm so you don't go over there and give them the word of God so that they get the vision of God and they enjoy the rest of their life. My mom enjoyed her last years. See, God has a plan for you, Drew. You don't know nothing about it yet. You're where you're at. I'm where I'm at. You're where you're at. But God's got it figured out all the way down your whole life. And he's saying, Drew, just come after me. Drew, don't really listen to what people say they think you ought to be doing. Scotty, don't listen. You listen to me. You follow me. You go where I want you to go to church. You give when I tell you to give. You tithe because you believe that the windows of heaven, that's already planned. That I got to get in agreement with that plan. And once I get in agreement with that plan, it becomes mine. It becomes a part of my life. Give me that Jeremiah 29. I got it both ways. Do it to King James first. Teresa had this scripture. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Put it in that Amplified or NIV or whatever I got. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to what?
Prosper.
I mean, it says it plain, don't it? Plans to kill you early? Plans for you to go through life broke and weak? Plans for you to go through life, living in lust for other things like money and boats and all. No. He'll give you all of that. He showed me through the scriptures when the disciples told him, he said, Lord, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus responded to them and he said, no man has left father and mother and lands and brothers and sisters for my sake and the gospels and lost anything. For he shall receive 100-fold, Janet, in this life, is what he told them. He said, you will receive 100-fold of all of that you have put me first in. He's talking to us about putting him first. Put him first before money. Put him first before our wife. Put him first before our husband. Put him first before our kids. Put him first before our grandkids. I put him first before you. I had a dream one night. Sandy, she's been here with us 25 years. 20-something. And that woman has tried to decorate this church for 24 years. I mean, it's like every year she tries it. I'm sleeping one night, Chris, and I had a dream. And I could see her coming through this door dragging up stuff and had stuff just lined up and going to drag it off. She's taking a little bit of time, had some of it on the porch, and she's going back to get it to decorate this sanctuary. And I woke up, man, I woke up, and I mean, it's real. I'm standing here, you know, and I mean, it's just like it was happening. And I thought, oh, my God, that's terrible. That's terrible. Came the next service, and she's inquiring to put stuff in here. I thought, oh, no, it's happening. It's happening. And I just looked at her, and I said, no. And you know, I've had people do that, you know, and them stomp and cry. You hurt my feelings. You hurt my feelings. I'm like, yeah, Lord, I didn't have that back then. I wished I'd have had that back then. I'd have hung it around my neck, swooped it around. Yeah, there you are. But what I'm saying is, you know, that was hard for me, Chris. Like, what does it matter, God? What does it matter? What does it matter if we got horns on there? You know, chauffeur horns. See, I don't have to understand why God leads me in the path that He leads me. You know, and all I've got to do is make sure that I'm not all self-centered. You're not all self-centered and all of that, you know, in the plan. Because, see, God was structuring me where I could take instruction and not be afraid to say it and to do His will, His plan unfolding about people. She's still here. Now, I fasted one time. God, keep her here. God, keep her here. Don't let her quit, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, Satan. And I wanted to rebuke her flesh, but I can't. See, we got dominion over demon spirits and stuff like that. But when it comes to your will, nobody has dominion there. He gives us a free will choice to make, you know. Well, we choose to believe. We choose to believe long, satisfied lives. We choose to believe your sister will live and not die. We choose to believe one's already come through, and we choose to believe the other. I've been praying for her, saying, God, don't let her faith fail her. God, don't let her lay there and surrender. Don't let her live there and surrender to it, Lord. Let her fight the good fight of faith. And I believe she's listening right now. She goes on the inside, bless God. I'm going to live and not die. Just start declaring it out of her mouth. I'm going to live and not die. No weapons formed against me will prosper. See, when we get a report that is death or like it never can be changed, that's the very time that when we have an opportunity to take God at His word, and He makes the impossible possible. Jesus, the young rich ruler, y'all remember that story? Come to Jesus. Want the things of the kingdom. He said, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. He wasn't following Jesus. He said, to sell what you have, give to the poor, he said, and come follow me. The Bible said that the man went away sad, for he had many possessions. You know, see, I don't believe that God was asking him not to ever have nothing. I don't believe I believe if he'd have went and sold all of that and started following Jesus, I believe he would have recovered 100-fold of that. He went on down right below that story and told the disciples that. Because they're like, who's them going to be able to enter in? Then he told them, he said, with man, this thing is impossible. But all things are possible with God. See, the world and our background and maybe our family or people we know tries to get us to look, Satan tries to get us looking to that to determine whether we can succeed or not. Based on all of this stuff. See, that is why me and you, we take and we say, okay, God, I know you have a plan for me. I know that in my life, I say it all the time, and I've been preaching it here for 24 years, saying, I'm not going to live off Social Security alone. I've been saying it. I say it in the morning. I say it in the noontime. I say it when I'm down in my garden. I say it when I'm over yonder on the, you know, with the cows, when I had them. And I'd come to church and I'd encourage you to say it. Well, it's looking like, Chris, that's not going to happen, that I'm going to have to live off of Social Security alone. If I quit now, I could quit now and tell y'all I need a raise at church. And just quit doing garage doors, and I don't even need Social Security. Now, back under in the 20s, in my 20s when I got born again, I thought, but God, my daddy lived off of disability $400 or $500 a month, and he couldn't even buy us yellow blocks unless it's just a special day. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to redeem what my family didn't have. I want all the tractors my daddy wanted that he couldn't afford. I want them, God. I want the tractors. I want the equipment. I want it, God. I want it. And then I told Satan, I said, I take it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to get my inheritance that my father was supposed to got from God that he didn't get. And I'm telling you, I've had my fill of tractors. I've got three now. I don't even need them. And I'm telling you people out there, and if you're not careful in here, let's see, there he goes bragging. Well, why don't you just sell everything off your walls? Sell your vehicles. Sell out house and rent. You don't need to own nothing. See how stupid that sounds? See how stupid that is? Just give everything you got away. You brought nothing into this world. They'll preach it to you. You brought nothing into this world and you're not taking nothing out. They preach that under a demonic anointing to get you not to believe God. Some of the scripture said that we'll live heaven on earth. Give me another scripture, Beth. Man, somebody took up my time this morning. He said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I'm telling you this because Teresa said it, and I've got it wrote in my notebook. God is a good God. Boy, he has been good to Scotty. And I have seen him be good to y'all. I have watched him be good to all of y'all that begin to go after him and put him first and sacrifice for him and cast those thoughts. And nobody, I don't know all of your battles. I don't know, but I do know you've been through some battles and you're going through battles and you will go through battles. But I do know the God that has kept me through the battles. And I have seen him work in most of y'all's lives. Some of us shouldn't be married. Some of us should have went under in our business. Some of us should have been fired a long time ago. The business should have quit a long time. I mean, some of us get laid off and God gives us a raise. I've seen it. But I've seen Johnny go around and he'd be a little funny every now and then with it. You know, he'd say, generous shoulder be made fat. And I said, you better stop. He'd grab his belly. Don't believe that, Richard. Oh, Richard, he'd have to quit giving right now. He's working on it, and I'm working on it. If giving made you fat, me and him's getting, we got to quit. Well, Satan's a liar. Give me the next one, Beth. I'm going to quit with this, maybe. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say how often? Continually. Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. I can't wait to see what's going to happen to you in a couple of years, Richard, and y'all, and your life, and as God throws your plan. I'm excited because I know I'm like, man, Drew might have been through some hell, and you might have been through, and your mom might have been through, but God steps into our life, just like Teresa was talking about. We had no idea we would be here today, and we don't take any credit for, I'm talking about pastoring and ministry and food ministry, and now, you know, going to get a building extending. He's enlarging our territory, God is. He's enlarging our ability to receive. And then some of y'all, I'm going to hire you one day. You're going to say, well, I ought to retire a long time ago, but I need to keep. I'm going to say, well, why don't you just come on down here and work for the church? We'll pay you $50,000 a year and pay you in church and all of that stuff. This will be your retiring place. You won't never retire. Just work in the ministry. See, some people have told me, boy, Scotty just dreams that, whatever he dreamed. I've asked God for 10 years, 10. God bring us to the place that we're those that are full-time ministry. God, that we can give them a check every month. We can pay them every month. We can give them an offering every month. God, bring us to that place to where they can work and muzzle not the ox that treads the corn. I don't care. I'm going to believe I'm going to stand on that and believe God will do it until he does it. Oh, Monty, he's going to retire. I'm going to retire. We're going to do more for God. He's going to do more for God than he did working. He's going to work for God. But you know, Jesus said, take my yoke on you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He said, learn how I am. Boy, he operated in the power of God. He operated in faith. He operated in favor. He operated in grace. He said, and you will find rest for your soul. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. You go. I mean, I listen to the media and I'm like, man, hell's done took over the earth. I'm telling you. Social media and all of that. I mean, these guys are out of the country, in another country, over here telling us like they're over here, you know, about what's going on here, how bad the administration is right now. I'm like, good Lord, man, this social media. And then I asked one, I said, where you live? And he lives over, he ain't even a citizen of the United States, telling us how bad it is. That's dumb. So, I mean, you look at the social media and all of that stuff, you know, and you think, man, it's bad. They gonna make you believe it is real bad. But we are looking unto Jesus, the author, the one that delivers out of the lion's den, the one that delivers out of the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the one that rolls back, let them rage, let the heathen rage. But let us rejoice and continually say out of our mouth, we magnify the Lord. I'm telling you, Donald, you are a rich man. You've got to go claim it. I mean, I've got a will made out, and me and Teresa does, and best that I can remember, you know, everything goes to Travis. So that's our plan, right? And I guarantee you, when something happens to us, if we don't change that, he'll get it. He don't even have to wonder right now. And I'm sure he has to work on, you know, not praying for us to go on home. I wish they'd hurry up and get on home with the Lord there where we can get out there and party in G's Playhouse. You know? Well, how many knows God's plan's in that Bible? And he don't change. He don't ever change that plan. That plan does not change that he has for you to live a long, healed, satisfied, plenty of money life so that you can enjoy serving God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to encourage you. Think about it all week, Mac. God, your plan's unfolded this far, and buddy, I'm blessed. Ain't you? I mean, his major hurdle right now is just getting his sister over here to this church. That's awesome. That's his only hurdle. Well, I hadn't ordered the blades for the lawnmower. I mean, you got that to deal with. He's having a double mow. He's like Teresa, can't leave a streak. Look, he's going to cut it in a few more days, just leave it. He can't. Supposed to just mow over about 20 foot off the building. He can't take it. I mean, it don't look good to him. So Matt goes over there and mows all the way slap over to the low-income people, the house over there. I pull up and I'm like, man, why don't you just get happy and mow their yard? I mean, he can't leave a strip this wide. He just cannot do it. You know? I'm fine with that, Mac. I mean, I'm good with it. You know? Praise God. But that's his biggest hurdle. That's great. But you know what? He's gaining wisdom. He's making Jesus appealing to her. That's what he's doing. I'm going to preach the gospel, and nobody I'd rather preach it to. And God's giving him wisdom. We asked him for it, didn't we?
Yeah.
For him, to give him wisdom. And he's doing it. Praise God. So I want to encourage you all week. Just tell God, God, I don't know what your plan is for my future, Lord. I know up to this point, God, but here I am. I surrender to, just surrender. I'll do your will, whatever it is. God, you'll help me. And God will unfold some things to you, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and we thank you. I thank you, Lord, you have a plan for every person on this planet. And God, we don't know what that plan is. And Satan tries to keep us out of your will continually our whole lives, Father God, that we will not enjoy life. And we will see you as a bad God. See you as, if you're really real, why do you do this and that, Lord? But we know the truth, Father. And I thank you, the plan is good. And Lord, you're setting us up for our latter years to be the best of all of our years, Father God. And I thank you that signs, wonders, and miracles will follow the service, Lord, and we'll be sure to give you the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Anybody need prayer before we dismiss? All right, let's stand to our feet. Let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.